The reading today is from Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 14. That's Ephesians chapter 1, 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks. Well, good morning, dear friends. It's good to be here at Mother Church. And thank you to Alan and the leadership here for the invitation to be part of this Thanksgiving Sunday here today. And I've been just sitting there and listening, and the theme of Thanksgiving right from the beginning. And I'm hoping that we'll continue to do that as we praise him later, as we see the evidence of salvation through baptism. And before we look at the word, just a few words of maybe a little bit more of introduction. We've heard that my name is Siegfried Ngubane. Recently, I've been named presiding bishop, and I always tease my friends that, my mother, if he wakes up today and you call me presiding bishop, will say, no, that is Siegfried, my son. So it's good to be here with Maureen. I'm married to Maureen, who was sitting next to me here, there. And God has blessed us with three children, two girls who are married. And there's a young man whom I don't think will ever leave home because although he's at campus at JWC at the moment, but I think he's enjoying his mom's cooking a lot. So I'm a bit worried there. Please do pray for me. So it's good to be here. And I think that's enough about me and introduction. But just turning to the theme of today and looking at what God has done, I'm sure you'll agree with me that churches come up, talk about church planting and church communities. It's through the gospel. It's through the faithful proclamation of the gospel that results in God calling people to himself, and that records salvation when they respond positively to the message and they start following Christ, they become his. And the theme of our sermon here today is the glory of salvation in Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at these 12 verses together. Now, if you have time, we'll have, please just look at the chapter 1 that was read for us. And we're looking at verse 3 to verse 14, the glory of salvation in Jesus Christ. Before we delve into this passage, let me ask you a question. Have you ever received a gift that was so unexpected, so generous, and so life-changing that it left you speechless? Maybe it was a surprise inheritance. For us in missions, sometimes, well, I come from a mission background to be a bishop. A surprise, sometimes a generous donation that supports you in missions or in whatever you're involved with in ministry, or an unexpected act of kindness. Is that you? Have you ever received such a gift? Whatever it was, I'm sure that it probably left you feeling grateful, humbled, and maybe even a little bit overwhelmed. I think it's a little bit like that with the salvation in Christ. And as our sister was reading us, was reading that portion of scripture there, I don't know how many times you notice the word in Christ, by Christ, through Christ, because this happens in Christ. Salvation is not our work. It's not even a church's work. It's only Christ and his death on the cross that is a good news for you and me, who were hopeless, who were lost, and those people who obediently share the love of Christ with us brought us to him, and we have experienced this gift of salvation. In our passage today, Paul describes a gift that surpasses all other gifts. It's a gift that has been given to us by God through Christ. And it's a gift that's so rich, so abundant, and so life-changing that it's hard to even put it in words. When I was a young Christian, I enjoyed going out there and sharing this wonderful gift with people. But sometimes I realized that I was not even able to explain it very well. But God, you know, will work in people's hearts, and they will get the message. Even though I was mumbling things and looking back, and even still today, I cannot claim that my words are meaningful to anyone. But God, through his Holy Spirit, he does work in our hearts to bring us to him. So this 12 verses presents a stunning picture of salvation in Jesus Christ. God's plan of redemption is shown to be comprehensive, in other words, complete, thorough, eternal, and full of grace. Through Jesus, we are chosen. That's another word that is repeated, maybe twice different words in the passage that we read. We are chosen, we are redeemed, and we are adopted to his family and given an eternal inheritance. The Holy Spirit is a seal and guarantee, a sign of our belonging to God and the promise of what's to come. And this passage beautifully outlines the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ and the hope that believers, you and me, have in Christ. Let's unpack this a little bit. Well, the first part of this passage, if you look at verses 3 to verse 6, well, Paul talks here about spiritual blessings in Christ. In verse 3, Paul begins by saying that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in Christ. Now, think about that for a moment. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Not just some, not just a few, but every single one of them. Paul begins with a thanksgiving to God, celebrating, thanking God for these abundant blessings God has poured out on believers. And he says, in the heavenly places, again reminded that this happens in Christ. This blessing is comprehensive, including every spiritual blessing, which means it encompasses everything necessary for a godly life and our eternal inheritance. But what are some of these blessings? Verse 4 to 6. Well, Paul goes on to list a few. He says we are chosen before the foundation of the world in verse 4. We are adopted as sons and daughters of God in verse 5. We are redeemed through Christ's blood in verse 6. So these blessings are not just abstract concepts. I come from a background of ancestral worship, as many maybe African people will know, our background and culture, that we believe that those who have gone beyond us, before us, in our families, they live forever. But there's no real tangible evidence that they are there with us, they're watching over us, they protect us. But it's different with Christ. I think one big thing for me that made it a difference in Christ is the change that by God's grace we see in those who have heeded the call obediently and coming to know him. Whether you come from that African and social background, when you come from any kind of idol worship. You know, even in our country, dear friends, we come from a very difficult past that has divided us as people of this country. And sometimes looking down upon one another because of race, and there are so many things. But people who have come and experienced this love of Christ, it changes them. Well, I remain the color like this because it makes me to be your brother in Christ. And I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, one of the things in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, my verse that I like, is the colorful wisdom of God. So it doesn't change that I'm a Zulu speaker. It doesn't change that I've got this beautiful color and I've got that beautiful color. But that means nothing. We are this family in Christ. And that happens when the gospel hits home in our heart, in our minds, and changing us and transforming us and helping us to become more and more like Jesus. So these blessings are not just abstract concepts. They are real, tangible benefits that we experience as followers of Jesus. Well, Paul explains that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. This choosing reflects God's loving intention and sovereign grace, not our own efforts. Believers are adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus. What a privilege that we've been inherited, we've been given in Christ. And again, Paul reminds us to the praise of his glorious grace. But secondly, we see Paul here talk about the mystery of God's will, redemption through Christ's sacrifice. This is verses 7 to 10. In verse 7, Paul describes how we have redemption through his blood, meaning that it was Jesus, it was his death on the cross that paid the price of our sins. I think for me that's an encouraging reminder, because if I have to work for it, I think there'll be time when I will be tired of working for it. There'll be time when I'll want to die and say, oh, I've worked so much. But the salary is not equivalent to, you know what happens. But this is entirely the work of God. And I think for me it's a wonderful reminder to know that all what we do, all what we contribute is responding in faith, obediently, and even that, it is his gift to us. So it is only Jesus' sacrifice on the cross that paid the price for our sins. Forgiveness is given to us in accordance with God's riches of grace. So this is highlighting the limitless nature of his mercy. And we look at verse 8 and 10. God's grace, Paul says, has been lavished upon us with all wisdom and insight. And through this wisdom, the wisdom of God, God has revealed the mystery of his will, which is to unite all things in Christ. And again, there's no way, friends, brothers and sisters, that we can understand this on our own. It is all and entirely the work of Christ in our lives. This is a staggering concept. God's plan is to bring together everything in heaven and on earth under the headship of Jesus Christ. And this is the ultimate goal, to bring all creation under Christ's authority and grace. Later on in the book of Ephesians, you know, Paul talks about, especially go to chapter 2, about our condition, that we were dead in our sins. We didn't have any hope. And I like Paul, what he does here, even here in chapter 1, chapter 2, and going forward, because he navigates between us and them. He navigates between those who were already perhaps the people of God or known as the people of God and those who were Gentiles. And in chapter 2, towards chapter 3, he very clearly talks about this mystery that has made us one in Christ, the Jews and Gentiles. So think about it, what it means for us. It means that we are part of a much larger story, a story that involves the redemption of all creation and all God's people everywhere in the world. It means that our lives are not just about our own individual struggle and triumphs, but about contributing to a greater purpose. As a privilege, a few weeks ago, I went to Kenya. We had was invited, just surprised by invitation to come and meet our brothers and sisters who come from persecuted church. And it was my first time to have a face-to-face with those people who come from those difficult areas, places in Africa. And the message that they sent to all of us, they said, don't pity us because we are being persecuted. Pray that the work of the gospel will spread even more. You know, I sometimes think of our context in South Africa. I think of the challenges that we have. Well, thank God that the shed loading has stopped for now. But sometimes, you know, we can be focusing on those things. And I'm not saying that we mustn't, you know, if we need to say to our government, if we need to pray for our government and say, hey, please treat your people well, I'm not saying that is wrong. But our brothers and sisters out there, they don't have a voice. They suffer. And yet they saying to us, hey, pray that through this experience, the Lord Jesus will be made even much deeper. And that is why that for you and me sitting in Cape Town, and as Perry, I think it was Perry who was praying, I was saying that we praise God that we live in a country, although with challenges, but what a blessing that you and me in South Africa can meet without looking over our shoulders to see who is watching us, who is saying, hey, why are these people congregating here in this place? And yet, to remember that those who cannot do it, not just in Africa, in China. And a few weeks ago, again, I met a young man who has just finished his PhD in Pretoria, and he wants to go back to northern Nigeria. And sometimes you want to say, are you mad? Why do you want to go back to northern Nigeria? And he said to me, because those people there, they need the gospel. So, friends, it's not just you and me. It's what God is doing right through the world. And this happens through the word, faithful proclamation. It's the work of Christ who died on the cross. And that is the gospel that has brought you and me to him, to be followers of him. The last thing here that we see here, thirdly, the guarantee that we have, the guarantee of our inheritance, verses 11 to 14. And here, finally, Paul reminds us that we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Well, I don't know if you can just stop a bit and think and reflect on what he meant by sealed. If you're sealing something, it means that that gift, that inheritance, there's no one who will take us away from it. We are safe in God's word. But I think it also reminds me that although I have been redeemed by his grace, I have been saved by his grace, to continually remember that it's not by any effort that comes from you or me, that it's all comes from him who has loved us so much that he gave his only son, the beloved son, to die on the cross for our sins. It always brings that reminder, even though I'm standing here in front of you, and all of us together we're sitting here, that Jesus is the one who take our place, who took our sin, who died in our place. So there's no reason for us to beat our chest and say, I'm a Christian, I'm better than the other Christian, I'm better than them. Even those people that are still struggling, who are still lost in sin. Our call is to continually pleading for them in prayer and making sure that the gospel goes out to them. So Paul reminds us that we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, verse 13 to 14. And this is a powerful reminder that our salvation, not just a past event, but a present reality, and it's secured in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Just look with me again, verse 11 and 12. Paul says here, in Christ we have obtained an inheritance. What does that mean? I think it means that our identity and future are secure in God, through Christ, and in Christ. This inheritance is tied to God's purposes and to his will. And we are meant to live for the praise of his glory, reminding us that believers are the living witness of his love and grace in this world. It makes us different. It makes us the salt and the light, the witnesses of his love and grace. Verse 13 and 14, Paul explains that believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who serves as a guarantee of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit's presence in our lives is like a down payment, assuring us of the fullness of salvation that we will receive in eternity. Well, friends, what does this all mean for us? It means that we are blessed. It means that we are chosen. We've been adopted. We are redeemed. And we are sealed. It means that we are part of a much larger story, a story that involves the redemption of all creation. Say that again. And it means that we have a guaranteed inheritance in Christ and secured by the Holy Spirit. And I've just referred to our brothers and sisters who live in those difficult countries, in Africa, in China, and in other countries where people are not allowed to speak about the name of Christ. There are countries which is against the law of that country to convert from a certain religion to Christianity. But think about those who have gone before us. Think about our forebears. Many years ago, I had the privilege of visiting Madagascar recently. It was supposed to be a 1 week leave, although I was doing other things there. But I end up visiting churches and being taken around and see how Christianity suffered in Madagascar. They suffered under a very strong leadership of the local people there who were more ATR, and they saw this philosophy that comes from the West coming to destroy their culture, and those who have given their lives to Christ were persecuted. But again, when French power authorities took over, there were more persecution which I wasn't aware. And the persecution was more religious one. because you better believe, you better belong to that church and not that church. And if you don't belong to that church, then you are in trouble. You will be persecuted. So think about those people, not just us today. Think about future generations, that when you and me stand firm in who we are in Christ, how many people God will usher to his kingdom through your prayers, through your dedication to live for Christ, to share the wonderful message of salvation with them. Remember that. I just want to wrap off this morning with a few thoughts. But first one is the beginning of the section from verse 15. We're not going to dwell too much there, but Paul's heart from verse 15 expresses his joy. It's a prayer. Expresses his joy and gratitude for the Ephesian believers, recognizing their faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints. This love for others and faith in Christ are the marks of a life transformed by the gospel. So if we have that in mind, and we continue to pray for those who are already following Christ, whether in our free country like South Africa, whether in difficult places like northern Nigeria, but also think of those who are standing on the wayside and watching, that them too, God is calling them to follow. But here is a challenge, friends. They will see Christ, they will hear Christ, they will follow Christ because of our obedience. It does not mean that salvation equals our obedience. It's entirely God's work. But our small part. And as we will say in mission, I got this expression from when I was still working for missions, that it's a privilege to be invited by God when he says to you and me, come and join me in what I'm doing in the world. So even in your workplace, where you spend time and living purposely, intentionally for Christ, so that people see Christ, it is him who's working to those people. And yes, of course, your obedience is important. Think about that. Think about us praying for them. Well, this section invites us to stand in awe of God's glorious plan, his unmerited favor, and the secure hope that all believers have in Christ. But as we reflect on this passage, let me leave you with this question. Have you experienced the unsearchable riches of Christ? Have you tasted the blessing that comes from being in him? If not, maybe today, in this Thanksgiving service, and as we'll be witnessing the baptism, by the way, when you gave me the name of the man that was going baptized, I didn't click that's the name of a person. That's why I wrote again and say, who is the name? Because I think that we are talking about salvation, which is good. Our brother's got a wonderful name. But if not, can I invite you, brothers and sisters, to come to him today? He is the one who blesses us with every spiritual blessing, who chooses us before the foundation of the world, who adopts us as sons and daughters, who redeems us through his blood and seals us with the promised Holy Spirit. And if you are sitting here and you're saying, yes, I am that person who have started following Jesus, and if you have experienced these blessings, can we encourage one another to share them with others? Let's go out, friends, and share the wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to those who are living and dying without knowing him. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless all of us. Can I just pray before Alan comes up? Father, we thank you for your gospel. We thank you, Father, that your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, your beloved one, is the one who stepped in our place. And as we celebrate here today, Father, it's because of that work that happened in our Lord Jesus Christ. May we be encouraged today. May we find a way of encouraging one another as well, but thinking of those who are still far away from Christ. So we thank you for today, and we thank you, Lord, that we'll continue not just for today, but in many days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.